Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
Glad to have you with us today. And we're continuing right now in our series, if you would, of discussing things in the Bible about how God actually works through government. And that especially when he is working with delivering, giving victory to a group of people, then government is more frequently involved than not. Now, on contrast, when it comes to an individual, it's actually the flip side of that. There are times that government's involved in that, but it is much less frequent. It is extremely infrequent when that happens. But today, I want to look at the story of Nehemiah. And if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. Just a real quick refresher. We've talked about Joseph, that God had him there for the purpose of being prime minister. That's Genesis 50:20. It says that God did it so it would be as it is this day. Moses, God knew children of Israel were going to cry out for deliverance. He put Moses into the household of Pharaoh. If you would, he walked as a child through the corridors of the Egyptian government, the seat of power. God trained him to be the leader of a nation. We've looked at Esther. She came to the kingdom of the Medes and Persians for such a time as that. Now, today we're going to talk about Nehemiah. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 1, the first verse that I want to read is when Nehemiah is up in front of the king. He's gotten news about the condition of Jerusalem. He's gotten news about the condition of the refugees who went back, those who had been freed and able to return to the land of Israel. And in verse 5, he's before the king. He's been downcast. And the king said, "What's wrong with you?" And so he told him. The king said, "Well, what do you want?" Here is Nehemiah's response. "And I said to the king, 'If it please the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it.'" What Nehemiah was requesting was a governmental position. He's saying, "King, I ask that you send me." The king is the head of the kingdom. That's a form of government. Nehemiah is saying, "I'm asking for the government, you, king, send me back to Jerusalem. That's what I'm asking for. That's my desire. That's what I want to have happen here." Then verse 6 says, "Then the king said to me," the queen also sitting beside him, "How long will your journey be? And when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time." So here, he gave him a time frame, and the king sent him. Now, this, again, Nehemiah is in a government position. Deliverance and the restoring, particularly in the story of Nehemiah, the restoring of Jerusalem, the rebuilding of the walls, that was going to happen. God was going to use Nehemiah to do it. And the way God worked, the children of Israel saw God's acts, but Moses knew his ways. We've got to learn the ways of God. You see, in our present world, a lot of people, and don't misunderstand me here, I believe in prayer, but a lot of people are praying for a lot of things, but aren't doing anything. And that won't work. A lot of people are praying for a lot of things regarding government, but then they're not getting engaged in government. Nehemiah didn't like what was happening to his people. Nehemiah didn't like the condition of his home city. It actually, earlier in the chapter, he wept over it. He did pray. If you read early in the chapter, he did pray. But the thing of it is, when he stood before the king, what it doesn't tell us in that chapter, and we tend to miss it because it doesn't specifically state it, Nehemiah had an answer for every question that the king asked. What's bothering you? Well, that was an easy question. He answered it, but he answered it succinctly. He said, basically, the state of my home, where my fathers are buried. I'm concerned about that. He said, what do you want? And then he told him what he wanted to do. Nehemiah, yes, he had prayed for things to change, but he also gave thought to what would it take for it to change. And see, a lot of times, a lot of people are ready to jump and fuss and scream about change needs to take place. But if the king got a chance to ask them, well, how do you make that change? Well, I hadn't thought about that. And you see, we have to be prepared for those times. See, I firmly believe that in this day and time, very much like Esther, God is wanting to raise people up to take positions in our nation so that issues that have been for a long time, and even the new issues, that those things can be solved. But somebody has to give some thought to what the solution is. The king asked Nehemiah how long it's going to take it. Nehemiah, in retrospect, the scripture doesn't record us the answer. Nehemiah, it says, I gave him a time. He had an idea of how long it would take, what he would need to do. And if we kept reading, Nehemiah already had ideas of things. He said, I need letters to the governors of the area. He had already given thought to all of these things. He was ready to govern. He was ready to govern. He was ready to initiate and carry out a plan. That is what we need. Now, with this, we're going to look at some more things about Nehemiah when we come back after this break.
Jesus said, I will build my church, or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determine their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
We're talking about Nehemiah and how that God works through government to create favorable positions, to bring victory, to bring deliverance to his people. Now, we saw in the last session that Nehemiah, after finding out about the condition of Jerusalem and the Israelites living there, that he asked for a government position. He asked for a government position, and he got it. Now, then, a little later on in chapter 2, it tells us how he had went and did a survey, if you would. He went at night and looked at the condition of things. And then he spoke to the people. And it says in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17, then I said to them, you see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And Nehemiah says, I told them of the hand of my God, which had been upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. Now, in this, what we see here is a process. Nehemiah saw a problem. He did pray. Now, in the end, he ends up making a request to the king for a government position. Then he gets that, and then he goes and begins to work with the people, and they go from being reproached to being excited about building and moving forward. This is that process. Now, everyone is not going to be in a government position. That's not going to be the case. But the bottom line is that we as believers need to understand that God works through putting people in government positions to change the life and condition of his people. And when the right person gets in that spot, like Nehemiah. Now, I'll say something here that some people may take exception to, but there was someone that came to Jerusalem before Nehemiah. His name was Ezra. Ezra went there. He had an agenda. Now, when you read the book of Ezra and you contrast it with the book of Nehemiah, there is one huge contrast. And that's this. Ezra went to do a job. He went to begin the restoration of Jerusalem and Israel. Nehemiah did the same thing. The difference is, if you would, Ezra, his conclusion is really found in the first chapter of Nehemiah. You see, it was the results of Ezra's work that Nehemiah heard about, and he wept over it. Ezra's venture, if you would, was unsuccessful. He wasn't a bad person, and he did a lot of good things. But what he did and his approach did not restore the nation. It didn't set them on that track. However, when we look at Nehemiah, he had a different approach. He looked at things differently. He went about it a different way. And in the end, God performed a miracle. The walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt in record time, amazing time. And it literally was the beginning of the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the restoring of Israel at that point in time. That's what happened. Now, here's the thing with this. Here's what we need to take away from this. What was the difference? I've just talked about the difference in results. But what was the difference in the process? Nehemiah was a good guy. Ezra was a good guy. Ezra loved God. Nehemiah loved God. Nehemiah loved Israel, loved Jerusalem. Ezra loved Israel, loved Jerusalem. But they got different results. Something different happened. Could it be that the difference was in their mindset and in their approach? I believe it is. I believe it is. And we're going to come back, and in session 3, we're going to talk about what the real difference was in the mindset between Ezra and Nehemiah, and how that we need to bring that same difference into our own minds. We're too much like Ezra. We need to be more like Nehemiah. Back in a moment.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
We're talking about Ezra and Nehemiah, that there was a difference in mindset, that there were so many things comparable between the two, love for God, love for the nation, love for the city, desire to see it restored, desire to rebuild it. Those things were common denominators. But once the story of Ezra has reached its zenith, if you would, which is maybe not the best word since it really didn't do very well, it started off great and ended bad. Nehemiah, upon hearing the condition of Israel, wept. Now, with this, today, I see this same mentality, the mentality of Ezra in the church, in the body of Christ. And we've got to understand that Ezra's mentality will not restore the nation. It will not rebuild Jerusalem. His mentality won't help us in our day and time now. The things that he did, he was a good person. What he did was good, and they need to be a part of life, but they will not rebuild and restore a nation. So what is it that I'm talking about? Ezra, when he went back to Jerusalem, one of the first things that he did, one of the first goals he had, was to begin to restore the worship. The worship is what he sought to restore. On contrast to that, Nehemiah, he looked at the walls. The walls got holes in, the walls have been knocked down. The gates, in some cases, there weren't really any gates. They've been burned. He started looking at, if you would, the systems of Jerusalem, the defense system, particularly in this situation. He looked at the walls. He looked at the gates. He looked at the access. That's what the gates are. Ezra was looking to have church. And in our society today, so many people think that America is going to be changed if we just have enough good church services. Now, I'm a pastor. I like good church services. I like worshiping God. I enjoy ministering God's truth to people. I enjoy all of those things about it. But that in and of itself will not rebuild a nation. Not in the way we've been doing it. Now, if we change how we're doing it, those things can yield fruit to that. But see, Ezra's mindset was, we need the music, we need the sacrifices, we need these things happening, and woo, things are good. Nehemiah said, we got to build this wall. He had, you know, they had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. They were ready to fight and working at the same time. Their assignment, their way of going about it under Nehemiah, in many ways, was much more difficult. But it was successful. It rebuilt the walls in record time and actually initiated the restoring of Jerusalem and Israel as a nation. There. Now, they were still under captivity for a period of time throughout that, but they were still their own people on their own land. That began to happen through Nehemiah. It did not happen through Ezra. And you see, with this, we need to worship God. Please do not misunderstand me on this. We need to worship God. We need to sing his praises. We need to be taught the word of God. But with this, we need to be taught God's word about the systems of restoring a nation. Nehemiah focused on those things. When they tried to get him off to discuss some other things, he said, "Let them know I'm doing a great work and I don't have time to come down." Nehemiah kept his focus on restoring the nation. He had one objective in mind. And that was the rebuilding of those walls and restoring the defenses to Jerusalem. You see, right now, in our nation, so much of our nation, I'm not talking about militarily here. What I'm talking about is infrastructure socially. There's so much of our nation internally that does not have defenses. Our children don't have defenses. Ethnic groups don't have defenses. People, we need more of a stability in things. There's so much division on stuff, and such a bitter rivalry on so many things. We need to have a restoration of biblical truth in some of this. Now, with this, that doesn't mean, again, just having church. What we need to do is we need to understand how God looks at government and then begin to install those things into our own personal belief systems, and like Nehemiah, go, well, this isn't going to happen unless I get involved. And then we get involved and we begin to build those things in that we see need to take place. And with that, one of my phrases, it's part of the Pledge of Allegiance. You see, when we're doing that and we're actually doing it biblically, now the Bible has been used to do some of the most horrendous things that have been done throughout history. And you might say, well, how do we keep from going there with that? Or what if somebody accuses us of that? Here's the difference. And it's the phrase that's at the end of our Pledge of Allegiance. And that is this, that it's liberty and justice for all. When we begin to make sure that what we're looking at is not just advancing our own personal agenda, advancing the agenda of those that we agree with, but this whole thing is supposed to be about liberty and justice for everybody, and that's what we want. Now, we don't want enslavement, and we don't want injustice. It needs to be justice, and that doesn't mean everybody's going to be happy with everything, but liberty and justice. Because I'll tell you one thing, liberty is not always a pretty thing, because when you have liberty, you have the ability to make bad choices. And sometimes people do, and we have to be willing to let them make those choices and own the consequences. If we don't do that, we don't have liberty. We just don't have it at that point. And Nehemiah began to create a situation where there was liberty and justice for all. But to do it, he had to start with a wall. He couldn't start on that first. So often in the Christian mindset, we want to have services and we want to sing and we want to talk about the things that are great and wonderful, but they never happen until you begin to put the brick and mortar in place. That has to happen. The systems have to be built. So we're going to wrap this up in our next session right after this break.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area.
I want now to look at the end of Nehemiah's story. We talked about how he had a different outlook. He asked the king for a government position. He had a plan so that he could answer every question that the king answered. He had a different mindset than Ezra. He went about it a different way. Where Ezra's failed, Nehemiah succeeded. Now, I want us to read Nehemiah chapter 7. This is kind of the end of the story, and we'll see a few things here. Beginning with verse 1, Nehemiah 7:1. Then it was, when the wall was built, and I had hung the doors, when the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed, that I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hananiah, the leader of the citadel, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. Now notice there, Nehemiah, he appoints the Levites, the singers, and all of that after the wall is finished. After they have people living in the city. That's when he did it. That's where Ezra started. Ezra began working on some of those things. Those things are important. It's not that they are unimportant. They are vitally important. But if you don't have the walls in place and you don't have the gates in place, then all the other, it'll never last. It will never continue. It will never be ultimately fruitful because the systems aren't in place that it needs to rest on. It's just not in place. Now, I want to read the very end of this seventh chapter because this is amazing. You see, it was at the end of chapter 7, the 73rd verse. So the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, and some of the people, the Nethinim, and all Israel dwelt in their cities. When the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. Now, it goes on here into chapter 8, and it says, now when all the people had gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with an understanding on the first day of the seventh month. This whole thing came full circle. You see, trying to build into place the worship system, having that as the ultimate first focus, didn't rebuild the walls. But when Nehemiah finished rebuilding the walls, getting the people in the city, then they could come together and hear the word. Then they could begin to implement things because there were walls around the city. There were gates that were in place. There was protection. The systems were in place for a successful government so that, if you would, they could lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so they come together and they read the word. It's not that they didn't do anything prior to that, but you see, worshiping God was a part of their life the whole time. But then once they had these systems in place, then they began to build that into the system of life. This is the order that things have to be if you're going to rebuild a nation. You see, our country is bigger than each one of us. And for things to work out, there has to be a system in place. That's ultimately what a constitution is all about. That's ultimately what the Bill of Rights is all about, the amendments to the Constitution. And you see, those are in place. Unfortunately, right now, those are being ignored quite a bit. We have to know, understand how, the way that God works. And frequently, again, when it's a group of people, God works through someone in government much more frequently than not. Nehemiah was a member of the government, and God used him to rebuild those walls. We have to begin to understand, and that's what this podcast is all about, is to be able to understand the way God works in rebuilding a nation, restoring a nation, renewing a nation. And so that's why we're teaching on these things, and we're going to be teaching on them. All of our other our sites, our website, Facebook, all of those things are for this purpose, because we have got to pick up the task of rebuilding the walls, the systems of our nation. I'm not talking about a literal wall, but I am talking about the wall of biblical understanding into the systems of our country. That's the way that it will be renewed. That's the way that liberty and justice will come to as many people as possible. Our hope is liberty and justice for all. But we have to begin restoring God's principles for government. And we won't be able to do it unless His people understand He does it through people in government. So we want to encourage you to be a part. Take part in political things. Get educated. You don't have to do a ton, but get educated on it. Engage in things. And then, again, I want to encourage people to run for office. We need some Nehemiahs that whose heart weeps for the condition of things, but also takes the time to develop a plan and is ready and able to implement that plan for the blessing of the people. I want you to come along with us on that journey. Join us, if you would.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.